Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dennis Miller, and comedian Ian Bagg. With Gina Grant on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a round of the drunk tank. And now, more hot-headed and explosive than the Kilauea volcano, and he also releases more toxic gas, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We do rely on you sharing this, and we appreciate that. Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Please. Oh, so plump.
Speaking of plump, I got some hot burrito talk for you guys.
All right.
Tommy John, I want to thank Tommy John for this half of the show, /Adam, get you 20% off. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. Hymns, go to 4hymns.com/Adam, and Simply Safe. Simply Safe, 2eyesinthere.com. We love these guys. So I walk around all day. I think about food and eating food, mm-hmm. and how desperate I was growing up and how rich I
Go
am
on.
Now and how I live with the kids and the food and everything's food. And I just like stare at stuff and go, God damn it, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. And we had hot quiche talk the other day.
So much hot quiche talk.
And I did what I always do, which is like I open the freezer and I open the freezer and like 8 boxes of Eggo waffles fall out, you know, and everything's mashed
and
into the thing.
Yeah.
And everything's mashed in. And it's always everyone in my house is sort of like, well, what are you going to do? The freezer's just full. Like it's full and we got to mash stuff into stuff. And it's like, we had to take a Hot Pocket and fill it with Eggos. We didn't have room. Yeah. And I'm like,
what are you going to do as though there's no solution?
There is none for the people who live at my house. For me, it's, well, we could buy a second refrigerator with a freezer and I'll put it in the garage and then we could offload some of this stuff into the garage.
We can warn the stuff that's in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like, well, okay, crazy man, buy a refrigerator then, you know. So because I need this on my list of things to do, I buy a, you know, poor Matt. Everything's like, go find a refrigerator with no ice maker in the front door. I don't want any water in the front door. I want it to be all fridge
Probably
and freezer.
Kind of hard to do these days.
Whatever what? I want, it's always like, oh, yeah. The Home Depot up the street has tons of refrigerators, but not without the one.
I was going to say, 90% at least have to have.
They have one with no door with the water ice maker, which I don't want in my garage. And I go, good, let's get that one. Oh, that one's a back order. Like that one's a month off. So then I tell them to scour the internet and find me another one.
Do they still make the bin kind for the garage?
The old ice box, you throw the body or the fish in?
Yeah, exactly, the body.
I could probably find that, but I'm like, I need a freezer and fridge. Oh, okay. And so we'll just, anyway, we'll find it, and then I get it, and then I set it up, and then I command my nanny to go fill it up, which is, this is how things at the Corolla, this is how we get stuff done. I go find something, and I command the nanny, you go do it, and then she goes and buses the stuff
from the freezer to the new freezer. And along the way, she pulls out a quiche that's like spinach and bacon and cheese, and it's got the big pie crust, and it's from the butcher shop or something. And I'm just staring at it, just going, "Oh, I want me some of that quiche." And then I start thinking about Vinny, and then whatever. And then I realize some people don't have to endure that. It just is.
How?
What do you mean?
What in what world?
Well,
Lynette.
Yeah. Lynette and the kids Jeanette are the kids. We'll see what happens with the kids. Lynette just physically cannot put weight on. Or maybe she can. I don't know. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And so my house is filled with all that stuff. And then I was out, and I was out last night. I went, Diane Farr, who came in here, old friend, I forgot she lived in my neighborhood. Mm. And so she's like, let's get together.
And she got on the motorcycle and you hopped on the back.
Yeah, right. And I was like, yeah, let's go have a drink. And so we're having a drink and we're just sitting at this place. And she's like, oh, this place has the best steak fries. And I'm like,
I'll bet they do.
I'm drinking a martini. I'm not having a beer. I'll just have a martini because I want a beer, but I'll have a martini instead.
Start negotiating with yourself.
There's the steak fries. And with the steak fries comes the ketchup and the ranch. Yep. So you can do a little shot of each. Yep. And I don't talk enough, nearly enough about steak fries, but steak fries are good.
Oh, yeah.
They're meaty, man.
That's the number one fry.
I love that fry.
They're a little well done.
And we get way too many goddamn steak fries, and it just sits in front of me.
A pile.
Small table, just sitting there. I'm just staring at it the whole time. And then she's just noshing away on the steak fries, and I'm going, wait a minute, why are you so goddamn thin? She's totally fit.
Like, I hope
totally,
you said that to her.
Totally thin. Like, I'm just looking at her face going, there's no jowls or anything. What's going on? And I realized she probably doesn't put weight on, because if you put weight on, you would not.
You would know they had the best steak
fries. Now, those people go, oh, they live in the gym or whatever. But I go, that's still not the behavior of somebody who it hits.
Right.
Like them. But I've often thought this about Dawson. I've never seen Dawson fluctuate, or Dawson's getting a little heavy, or it's time to cool down on the Mexican food or whatever. And I've traveled with Dawson. He likes the pina coladas, only in Amsterdam.
And it's like, famous.
Again, when you're looking at that, when you're watching the calories, the pina coladas and the steak fries, it's something that's not normally in your orbit.
We don't
you know
do that.
It's not really in your galaxy.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't have a beer. Doesn't mean you can't have a burger, but you stay away. There's certain things like the pina coladas you stay away from. And I noticed like Dawson, and I also noticed like Dawson would come in here with the double buy from Burger King, where it's got the fish filet sandwich and the chicken sandwich, and they're both like foot longers. So it goes, I buy two of them. No, it's two for $5, you know, and it's like, it's noon.
Yeah, why
you know?
Does
and
he I'm get like, to have
why,
those?
Why do you get to eat all that stuff that I want to eat? And then I realized, I think Dawson may be one of those guys that doesn't put the weight on. He doesn't live at the gym.
Yeah, he has a sweet spot that he's very comfortable with. I never forget the first time I went swimming at Dawson. The shirt goes off and he goes, "Fat looks better tan," and he jumps in there and jumps in the lake.
He said it repeatedly. Yeah.
Now I just have this.
If you can't tone it, tan it.
So okay. I had a hot burrito talk with him a minute ago. Now we're taping this in the morning.
Look at the size of that thing.
That's a monster.
That's a foot. That's Shaq's foot.
Now, I could never. My deal is I'll have some coffee with some MCT oil in it and see how long I can hold out. Maybe I can make it till 5.
Oh, man.
You know, or whatever. I'll pour a little cream in the coffee and some MCT oil and let's see if I can hold out. I can't have a burrito.
You don't
breakfast.
Get to haul that thing around all day?
No. And then I say to Dawson, geez, what's up with the burrito? El Pastor. And I said, yeah, what is that? That's the pork. That's a marinated pork. And I was like, God, that's a good-looking burrito for way before noon. And then he's like, place by my house is having a deal. It's dealing days on burritos at the place next to Dawson's house. And I'm like, what's the deal? And he's like,
I eat ass.
He's like, 4 burritos, $20.
Oh, man.
And then I'm like, or 20 burritos, $80, like, or 100 burritos, $500. Like, it feels about right in deep North Hollywood. That's $5 for a burrito. I don't know if that's a deal they're offering. I think you can buy as many burritos as you want for $5.
Regular price, they're $7.
$7?
So saving $2
a high-end burrito, yeah. Man. So they've gone from $7 to $5. And you buy the 4-pack.
Month of May only, so yeah.
So tell me this burrito regimen.
I do eat ass.
Tell me how that works with the burrito.
What do you mean?
Well, it's
how
4.
How do you go through 4?
I'm asking you. You bought 4 for $20.
Bought them late at night. I finished work about 11:30 at night 2 nights ago. And so I went to the burrito place. I was just going to get one.
By the way, already no fly zone for me and Gina, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh,
after
I finished
11?
Late at night, so I went to eat at 12.
No, you go to bed hungry and you pat yourself on the
back. He's doing everything wrong.
Right.
I was just going to get one burrito, but then I saw a big sign on the door that says, for the month of May only, 4 burritos for $20. So I got one carnitas, one pastor, one asada, and one chicken.
So I ate the one that night.
I had one chicken that night.
Mm-hmm.
I had a carnitas for dinner yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm having the pastor for breakfast this morning, and dinner tonight will be the carnitas burrito.
Wow. So this is spread out over a day and a half, 2 days?
Yeah, a day and a half.
You really like to make it last.
Well, actually, no, maybe 2 days. But I'm also...
I feel like you're shooting yourself in the foot here to save $4.
You could freeze
which
one.
Which is like, I just go get the burrito and eat it. I pay full fare. Yeah. You know what I mean? Two-day-old burritos feel... Like
No, there are
I saved $1.85, everybody, but I'm miserable.
Other factors. One, this place does take a long time. So to go get one burrito, you're looking at about 25-30 minutes of waiting.
It's
to
an
get
opportunity
one burrito.
Cost.
It's crowded.
Yeah, it's crowded. It's open 24 hours, cash only. The place is always busy. So I got my 4 burritos, and then I don't have to go back for a couple days.
Well, why don't you get 8 burritos and never go back? I'm extending your logic. Buy 45 burritos and make it till the end of the year.
I don't think I can make 8 burritos last that long. I'm a little nervous about carrying these over for 2 days.
I don't know. My feeling with burrito is 2 days into the burrito, the husk, the tortilla soaked up a lot of the burrito juice.
The nice thing about burrito is like it's all the hot stuff plus the cold guacamole and whatever, the salsa, whatever. So it's the mix. And then once it all becomes the same temperature, then it's not the same alchemy.
There's no guac or sour cream in these. It's just rice, beans, meat, cilantro, onions.
Old school.
No guac?
All right. We'll get into more hot burrito talk because Dennis Miller's on line one. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. Do you get angry?
I'm so angry. I would punch any of you for a burrito
did not touch a steak fry. Just
you
simply,
didn't have one?
Just
you
simply watch her eat steak fries until she was done. And then when we were done, I said, you got to take those home. There was like 19 fries left.
Lock me in a room.
She started laughing at me. I was like, take them.
No matter how loud
That's
I
incredible.
Scream, no matter how much I drool.
Do not open this door.
Let me tell you about Tommy John, and then we'll heat up the great Dennis Miller. Tommy John, give Dad the gift of evolved underwear. I love it. I have them on right now. Limited edition Father's Day gift sets from Tommy John. Innovative designs like the time-saving horizontal quick draw fly. Stay put waistband, no wedgie guarantee. Proprietary, that's the word I was looking for. Forward-thinking fabrics are so soft and light, Dad'll swear he's going commando. Plus, socks that stay up all day, lightweight undershirts, the best, like true undershirts, not a shirt under your other shirt, an undershirt, never come untucked. Second skin tees that never shrink, all backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free, guaranteed. Give a Dad evolved underwear from Tommy John. No adjustment needed. It's Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Shop limited Father's Day gift sets at TommyJohn.com/Adam now and get 20% off your first order. TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
Dennis Miller is up on line one. We're going to play the Rotten Tomatoes game. It's redemption time for Dennis Miller. Dennis?
Nobody comes in with a smoother coda on an underwear ad than that cat with you, man. Unbelievable, those dulcet tones coming in. With the backup.
Are you back in the Santa Barbara, Ventura area, or are you still back east?
No, no, I'm in New York City. I came back to watch the Weinstein surrender, which is sort of like a new, it's like the new Macy's parade. Everybody, all the kids are out there waving flags and stuff. So I'll be back on Sunday back into the Santa Barbara area, but I'm in Gotham right now. And I'm surprised you're letting me play the Rotten Tomatoes game again, since I've had a call from the AFI asking me not to participate if I'm not going to get together a little.
I believe the third time is the charm, Dennis Miller. Harvey Weinstein, by the way, is going to be the pioneer of the perp waddle. Oh. It's giving way to the perp walk, everybody. Yeah. Nobody waddles like Weinstein with his hands behind his back. Yes.
As if Weinstein coming on to you on a casting couch isn't bad enough, when he has you sleep over, he also has sleep apnea. So he's coming at you with that scuba gear locked on his head. Can you imagine?
I decided a way to save money for these guys. They don't, and the indignity of having to cuff Weinstein. Just hand him a foot long sub and told him he'll hold it with both hands in front of him and he'll never flee. He'll just stare at it and hold it with both hands.
You know?
And then when you get to the cell, you'll have something meatball sub to nosh on when you get there. So Weinstein. What do you, Dennis? Any? Did you have any interaction with Weinstein? Any Weinstein projects or any of that stuff with you over your career?
No. I met him once briefly at a party with, I think, Brad Gray and he, believe it or not, started out in upstate New York.
Yes.
In Buffalo selling concert tickets. And I think I met him with Brad somewhere along the way. And we chatted for a second at the Palm, and then he had sex with me, and that was it.
Sure.
So no real interaction.
No.
The whole Gary Shandling, Brad Gray, you know, documentary, Shandling, and then the diary and all that made you kind of think about Brad Gray in a little different light, who then passed recently, right?
Brad passed within the last 6 or 8 months. Listen, when I was a young kid in Hollywood, Brad's imprimatur meant a lot, and he was always decent to me personally, but did I vet any deal that he put across my desk by, you know, having it run by a lawyer? Sure I did. And I think what had happened is I wasn't quite close enough to him to take him at face value, whereas Gary and he were like brothers in arms. So I can see at some point maybe Gary in an odd place, you know, in that sweet spot where you're each other's bestie, you trust the language and the contract, but you got to remember, once you get past Malibu Canyon coming into Hollywood, you can't trust anything, man. The moment I hit that McDonald's out there to pee and I head into Hollywood, I get my game face on, because I assume even your best friends in Hollywood at some point want, you know, profit participation. So you got to watch that, and Gary didn't, I don't know.
Your brother is a big-time manager, right?
Dad, he's as honest as the day is long. My brother and I come from Pittsburgh, and I say this endearingly. I love my brother, how square he is about dealings. He wouldn't. I remember once when I was visiting Jim Carrey and Judd Apatow on Cable Guy, and my brother was representing both of them, and I said, "Why don't you come down to the set? I'd love to see you." And he said, "I try to stay away from the sets, because then the creative people think you as a businessman is trying to glom onto their creative and pretend you're in the game." He said, "I strike deals. I represent people. I try to do the best by them. And I don't linger around the set and pretend I have any of their talents." I said, "Well, that's why my brother's a good manager."
It's all part of the rap they use to lure in young talent. We're from Pittsburgh. We're from Beaver Falls, so, you know, we're straight shooters.
You trust us.
I've heard the rap.
I forgot you were with him, and it ended poorly.
Yeah, it was horrible. Well, because of the gag order, I can't say. No, I don't. I am curious, because I've always heard about Jimmy Miller, Dennis Miller's brother, handles all these huge acts, and I thought, I don't think I met him, or certainly may have been at a party with him or something, but I don't, for a guy who's handled everyone and been everywhere for 30 years, I don't think I know your brother. Just out of curiosity, though, Dennis, while I give you some plugs, why don't you think of some of the heavy hitters your brother represents? I think there's a part of you that people don't know about. Am I right?
I think I knew this.
It's interesting. The Dennis Miller option, by the way. You can listen on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Also, shows coming up, live dates, Montclair, New Jersey, Wellmont Theater, that's June 16th, Knoxville, Tennessee, Bijou Theater, that is, oh, taping a special, that's May 19th, and tickets at Ticketmaster, and shoot them a tweet at Dennis DMC.
I got a new hour, Ace. I got a new hour called Fake News, Real Laughs, and I'm shooting it at the Bijou in Knoxville, and I think it's in good shape. I have one more date to do before I put it out there, but I've been working on it for a couple of months. Got a whole new outline. I think it's pretty good right now.
I always look forward to your special. So your brother, brag for a minute and a half about who he's represented over the years.
Well, I would say right now he's mainly focused on Will Ferrell and Judd Apatow. Judd's his own business in a way, but over the years I think he's handled Borat. Jim Carrey and he were just together. That was my brother's first client. And I remember when I went to see Ace Ventura, you know, and I had known Jim for years before that. He was like a brilliant young kid that you'd see at the Comedy Store when he was like 19. He'd be dating Linda Ronstadt, but he used to do an eerie... Ace, you must remember. Remember when he used to do that Henry Fonda impression from On Golden Pond?
Yes, weird. Well, kind of morphed into his fire chief character or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was an unbelievable talent, and my brother was there before anybody. And I remember going to the opening weekend of Ace Ventura, and remember when Jim walked along that wall. He ad-libbed walking along the wall, and he just, like, pressed to the wall and acted like he was in a spy movie. And I remember the theater just exploding and calling my brother and saying, oh, Jimmy, I think this is going to take off, and I was so proud of him. He's a funny cat. I remember I got a call once from Michael Douglas. He was at the Venice Film Festival. He said he's on the Bridges side. He said, I'm hanging with this crazy bald guy all day, and all I can think of is, how do I know this guy? How do I know this guy? My brother started shaving his head early, and I've got this weird Eddie Munster hair. But so he couldn't quite put it together. He said, and all of a sudden, I said, are you Dennis Miller's brother? And he said, yes, I am. So he and Michael called me from the Bridges size, and I was reminded that how similar my brother and I are in a way, although we look completely different. But he deliberately stays on the down low. He thinks clients find that endearing. Good for him.
I'm trying to think. Is there a third brother who's a wild loser or insanely successful?
No. My other brother, Rich, works in the Midwest, and he manages comedians there, but he never really liked the social ramble out in L.A. You know what I mean?
Let me put you up against Super Dave, Albert Brooks, the Einstein triplets, right? One of them, Super Dave, the other's Albert Brooks, and the other one runs an ad firm, one of the biggest ones, and is wildly successful. Right. I think this would be a good argument because I think I could put the Miller brothers. There's one civilian. Mm-hmm. There's one guy who's clearly in show business. There's one guy is behind the scenes, but represents tons of heavy hitters. Be an interesting argument to make.
Well, listen, I might as well use this to announce that we're going into the UFC cage into the octagon.
Oh, this is huge news.
The triplets against the triplets.
Yeah.
Yeah, three enter, three leave. They've already done a celebrity death match on it, and we will meet in the cage 3 weeks hence. I spent a night one night, Ace, you'll love this, in Las Vegas with Richard Lewis and Albert, and he were friends, and we walked around Las Vegas at night, and it was like that scene in Annie Hall where Annie's sitting in that town square in Manhattan with Woody Allen, and he's doing, reductio absurdum on people, just condensing them down into their basest elements. Mm-hmm. And it was Richard and Albert Brooks and sitting in a coffee shop in Las Vegas watching the human condition stroll by, and these two lunatics just ripping. I'm telling you, Albert Brooks, it was one of those things where I had to beg him. I had to say, Albert, I need a second. I'm getting bolo punched here. I'm having trouble breathing. That is a whole evolved species of funny.
That's a
there.
Great fly on the wall moment.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a different stratum, Albert Brooks.
I agree. I'm defending your life, one of my favorite all-timers. I'm happy. I ran into him at Seth MacFarlane's party 5 months ago and just told him how much I love that movie. And
this
it's great.
This is damn exciting stuff.
It's always the best because he was in front of his daughter who didn't give a shit. And you could tell how happy he was. Finally. Like, would you listen to this
See?
Guy?
I told
I'm telling
you
I'm
a movie.
Genius. By the way, when you get when the cage door closes in the octagon, Dennis, yeah. and if you draw the Super Dave straw, spinning heel crescent kick to the temple, his hair will fly off while he's trying to retrieve
He'll
his
useless.
Hair.
You just kick him
you,
over.
You choke him out yeah. on the mat. That is
Believe
my-
me. I've been in the Joe Rogan dojo now for 3 weeks prepping for this.
Good.
Wax on, wax off, Miyagi.
Good on you. All right, you ready to play the game, Dennis
yeah,
Miller?
What's our category today? Last time it was Ryan Reynolds or Debbie Reynolds?
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds.
This time around, we're doing movies from actors whose Dennis has starred in a movie with or oh. co-starred
Dennis
with.
Miller co-stars.
Co-star, yes.
Interesting.
This is bad news for you, Dennis, because this would lead people to think that somehow you should have some sort of edge and you're still going to get slaughtered.
It never works out that
and
way.
And it's worse. But here we go.
All righty.
Do you want to do the song?
Listen to that noise. That's a high falsetto voice. That can only mean one thing, and you can feel it.
Got some names of flicks. And the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game.
All right, we got it.
You know how we do
Dennis, it. Take this in the spirit in which it's intended. You are the best part of Joe Dirt.
Thank you, my friend. Except Joe Dirt, too, when I literally looked at myself and thought, man, you better lose 15 because you're turning into Wilford Brimley on a catheter.
Diabetes.
Yep, the diabetes.
All right, here we go, Dawson.
Speaking of Joe Dirt, co-star David Spade also was in a movie with Chris Farley, where Chris's beloved father dies, played by Brian Dennehy, so... The dim-witted Tommy Callahan inherits a near-bankrupt automobile parts factory in Sandusky, Ohio, in the 1995 movie,
wow.
Tommy Boy.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time. This was my first movie purchase on an iPad for a flight. One of my favorite movies.
It's good laughs in this movie.
Yeah. Good laughs.
Classic film for millennials, Ace. I mean, really, this is like Sullivan's Travels to them.
I was a sophomore in high school. This is everything.
And it's also one of those movies there, if you saw it when you were 13, it's funniest thing you've ever seen in your
every
life.
Punch.
Yeah. I don't think it's probably as good as you thought it was when you were 13.
I still watch it.
Laughs.
What did you do?
Richard, what'd you do?
I'm going to say that the critics probably weren't as fond of it.
As me?
that's my thought.
The chemistry is so staying
crazy.
Let us lock this in.
All right.
And then Dennis, what is your number?
I feel like I'm at the French Revolution and the three of us or the four of us are coming at the best deal. And I go up and I impale myself on the fence and then you guys climb up after me. Yeah.
Someone's got to do it.
All right. So I'm going to say 75.
Ooh.
75. Brian?
I got 55. I think the critics couldn't have liked this.
Good call.
I love this movie. I'm hoping for the best. I'm probably being a little starry-eyed. I said 78.
I said 64, and you guys love and fondness for this probably jacked me up about 10 points. I was thinking more in the 50s, but there's a lot of laughs.
And I totally agree.
Farley was funny and everything. Anytime. All right.
Tommy Boy is rotten.
Oh, boy.
At 43%.
But wait. Look at that discrepancy. The audience has it at 90. That's huge. That's a crazy chasm.
This is why we should all hate critics, because look.
Wait a second. Ace, my son just walked in the room, my 25-year-old boy. We're playing a movie game, son. We had to rate Tommy Boy, or guess what it rated at on Rotten Tomatoes? I guess 75, because I thought your generation loved it. They rated it at 43. What do you rate it at out of 100?
50?
There's the law generation.
Hit him with that phone, Dennis.
Yeah.
He said 50.
He's a nihilist. I don't know.
He didn't believe in anything.
Right down the middle.
Build up.
Yeah. I think there's a new group which is called the Glass is Half Middle.
Glass is exactly halfway.
Here we go. Are you one of those glasses half full? Like, who gives a shit? Yeah, exactly. I'm leaving. Like, they can't even hear the goddamn glass question anymore.
There's some more Rorschach test.
They look at you and they say, glassware is for one percenters. I drink out of my cup pan.
Yep.
Right. And by the way, drinking bottled water is racist and elitist anyway. Tap, because people of color are forced to drink from the tap. With the heavy metals in the water.
Tell the people of Flint, Michigan.
Yeah, go to Michigan and then tell me how you feel about your glass analogy. All right.
Listen, I'm just happy that somebody picked 78 because now I'm not in last place.
I'm not happy about this.
I just want to make the podium.
I should have known that the critics wouldn't like this because I love this so much. Yeah. It got sucked me in. And by the way, a pox on the critics, because no one in this room is going to argue. It is goddamn hard to make a solid comedy, like a just 90 minutes. Hey, no lulls. You realize you do a comedy and 9 minutes goes by where it's kind of nothing, no laughs. You're failing.
You're looking at your watch.
You got to go.
Yep.
It's so easy to pick a topic like Moonlight or something like that, and then it's fine. All the pieces are there. Easy, and you guys can fawn over that. This is hard to do.
Couldn't agree more.
And the audience has it at 90%, which is we came to see a comedy. We went and we laughed and we had a good time, and I like this movie. Mission accomplished. No reason to give it a 43 and look down your nose. Oh, some of it was like slapstick and he fell on the table and whatever.
Well, God forbid you judge for the plot. Like, the plot was paper thin. It's like, well, what do you want? The string together jokes.
This movie had heart. It tugs at your heartstrings. It's a great movie.
Okay.
By the way, I think Dennehy was simultaneously doing Death of a Salesman on Broadway. So literally, he had occluded fronts. Thunderstorms were breaking out over his head as he went from playing Willie Loman over to playing Tommy Boy.
Watch out.
Big Tom Callahan.
You got to keep your eye on the sneaky bald Brian, who will just lavish praise on a movie. Oh,
what?
I remember this was funny. That mission accomplished.
Never once lied about a movie.
But this is funny. This is a funny movie. This is funny. He's building you up. Yeah. He's building you up. Oh, there's a lot of laughs. It delivered.
Classic comedy.
A lot of delivered.
Chris Farley,
what do you say? 51. Oh, you're clearly in love with that movie.
Rope-a-dope him.
I might be wrong, but at least I'm sincere.
My wife is a classic beauty. What do you give her? A 4?
Yeah, 4.5. Good news.
Okay. We're moving on. We're all still in this game.
Yes.
Here we go.
In 2008, Dennis was in What Happens in Vegas, along with Cameron Diaz. Well, Cameron, in 1999, starred alongside John Cusack, Catherine Kinnear.
Oh, yeah.
Keener, I'm sorry.
That's right.
And, of course, John Malkovich in the 1999 movie Being John Malkovich.
Okay. Now we know the critics love this bad boy.
Yeah, I loved it.
Great movie. What Happens in Vegas, all I remember, what year did that come out? Here's what I remember. I had a movie, boxing movie called The Hammer. We're trying to put together the trailer that could be shown in a theater or on a commercial or something like that. And there was a scene in The Hammer where I got my gloves on and I got all taped up and I had all my stuff on and I was going to go into the ring and I realized I got to pee.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, someone's got to help. I got my gloves all taped on and everything. I'm wearing my foul protector. It's like a cup with a belt, kidney belt and stuff. And it's like, so my squire, my young guy, Ozzy, helped me in the bathroom to like pulling the stuff down in front of the urinal. And of course, the guy walked in the middle to misconstrue the situation and turn around and left. We had that little part in the trailer and the whatever board said, nah, You can't show that. You can't. And it was like my back.
Two guys in the bathroom together?
Yeah, back was
God
to the
forbid.
Whatever. We didn't see any urine or anything. And I was like, that seems pretty innocuous. On the other hand, we got an R rating for no reason. But anyway, can't do it. Later on, I'm watching TV and they're doing the What Stays in Vegas. Cameron Diaz has to take a piss in a sink. She in the commercial on TV, she jumps up and she's sitting in the sink taking a whiz. And I'm like,
of course.
Delightful.
What is that?
Isn't that actually kind of worse?
It's just in the sink. There's dishes in there.
At least I was peeing into a urinal.
Well, listen, two things. Whenever you're talking about a minion de-pantsing you and holding the mamba as you whiz, don't refer to it as a little part in the trailer.
You're right.
And secondly, that Aussie kid has so been reacquainted with this image now, and I can't tell you. You better hire Marty Singer because the big suit's coming down the road here.
I tell him any decade now. Hey, we'll get Jimmy Miller to represent Oswaldo Castillo. All right. 2008, yeah, must have been the same time my movie was coming out. You got to find that commercial, Max Pat, so I can get angry. Anyway, all right.
That's the first time I called you, Ace. I love that movie. I remember tracking you down. I thought that movie had super heart.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I love that about you. All right. The critics love this, but yeah. Is it 98%? Mm-hmm. Is it 91%? I mean, you got a great movie, and the critics love it anyway.
Inventive.
Do we go 100 every once in a while?
Every once in a while, I do.
Is it a Toy Story realm?
Okay. Dennis, I'm going to go. Dennis first. Yes, I'm writing it down. Go ahead.
I'm going to go 99. And by the way, the number 99 reminds me, if you were doing a rock earthquake film in L.A., you know, they always have that. Every 2 years, they reshoot something akin to the San Andreas Fault.
Sure.
Would you not take one of the 99-cent stores on Fairfax and have the sign destroyed, flipped upside down so it reads 66? Would that not be a great computer-generated thing?
You could do it twice, though, right next to each other.
Yeah. I might go 69, but that's just me. Well, is that before or after the Angeline sign?
Yeah.
It comes falling down.
It comes crumbling.
Yeah. Angelina?
Angeline. With a Y.
Right. All right. Brian?
This is made for critics. This is peak Charlie Kaufman, the writer. This is peak Spike Jonze, the director. I can't imagine. It's irreverent. It's silly. It's aware of itself. 44. No. But I think it might be a little too weird for certain critics, so I went 96.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I love this one. This is my favorite movie this year.
Gina Grant?
Yeah, I know they love it. I know this is exactly what critics lose their minds over. But I got burned on the last one, so I notched it down a little bit. I said 89.
I went 96 as well, so now I have mixed feelings about being exactly 96.
Being John
Malkovich. Well, somebody's going to slay some margin here because we're all in the ballpark. We know they loved it, but I got it. I'm hoping 199, and it gets me back in the game. Let's hear it, Resident One.
Being John Malkovich is certified fresh at 93.
Okay.
Too weird for a handful of critics.
Could you all repeat your scores again?
96.
93
for me.
89
for Gina.
96.
Gina, go ahead.
89.
And Dennis?
99.
99.
Thanks.
So I lose again.
Well, you don't. Here's the other thing. You only lose 6 points on this one, and we were closest at 96, so we lose 3 points. So it's really only 3 points off. Also, it's one of those. The algorithm is always correct. Like, the audience does have this one lower than the critics, and you knew in advance that the critics were going to like this more, and you knew the Tommy Boy critic algorithm as well. And I would just sort of argue that we shouldn't know critics in advance, like which ones you're going to like and which ones you're not going to like by the tone of the movie.
Right.
You should just do it based on the merits of the movie.
Yep.
Here we go.
Critics are buried in unmarked graves. That's why they try to get their byline during the life.
All right. Ashton Kutcher was also in What Happens in Vegas in 2008. But in the year 2000, he starred alongside Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
In a movie featuring two bumbling stoners wake up one morning from night of partying and can't remember where they parked their car. So they called the movie, Dude, Where's My Car?
Adam, is this a good example of a title that was made before the actual premise?
Yeah, maybe Tommy Boy is, too. Max Pata says Ashton Kutcher was the one peeing in the sink.
Yeah.
In the
commercial. More offensive.
Now, you got a computer. But I have a brain, so let's keep looking.
Okay.
Was there a sequel to this?
And listen, he could have whizzed in the sink, and that's what got Cameron Diaz to whiz in the sink.
I can't believe this property slipped past Melvin and Kumar. By the way.
All right, Dude, Where's My Car? Look,
the
fun, whatever. People like these kind of movies. The critics cannot. Boy, but how low do we go? Dennis Miller.
I'm going to go 58.
In my recollection, this is not that bad of a movie, even though this is not the kind of movie critics go for. So I went Dennis Miller's son, 50.
All right. Gina Grant?
39 is my guess.
I was up in the 30s, and then there's a part of you that goes, well, wait a minute, this could be 11. Like, no. If nobody, the critics didn't lie. I went 29. 29.
Dude Where's My Car is rotten at 18.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, that hurts a lot.
Jeez. Wait, Dennis, what did you say? Dennis put it in the 90s?
I am so bad at it.
This is not that bad of a movie.
But Dennis, these are people you work with. You should know this.
I did not see this one, but all I can tell you is this, to supine myself like this in front of the general population is good for my brand because I look weak.
That's good, yeah. Your son is this close to looking up. That's how appalled he is at this situation.
My son looks up at me and then averts my gaze.
There is a scene in this movie that is up there with Abbott and Costello, Laurel and Hardy, all the great, Martin Lewis, wow. Where they get tattoos. One says dude and one says sweet on their backs. And then they go, what does my tattoo say? He goes, sweet. What does mine say? Dude. What does mine say? Sweet. What does mine? And it's back and forth. It is brilliant comedy.
Audience at 47%, which is low, but still more than twice, obviously, what the critics have. I may have scratched my way back into this game on this one.
That was a heavy blow.
Here we go.
All right, Dennis was in Thank You for Smoking in 2005.
Love that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Also in that movie was Aaron Eckhart, who plays D.A. Harvey Dent, Christian Bale and Michael Caine and Heath Ledger in 2008's The Dark Knight.
Which Adam has shamefully not seen.
Shamefully not seen. All right. This is the nerds and the critics came together on this one. I think,
by the way, my favorite scene in Thank You for Smoking is when Aaron Eckhart's walking through the lobby of the simulated talent agency, and there's the ancient Zen gardener working on with the little rake, and he's having a conversation about like profit participation on some sort of project, and he just looks down in the middle of it, takes a quick glance at the guy and goes, what's up, Hiroshi? And then keeps walking.
I have a Dennis Miller drop from that movie.
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screener.
When he calls in and threatens his life.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
Morse Miller there. I'm going to go.
Hold on. I haven't written my number down yet.
Like you're going to use mine as a criteria.
That's a good. Well, go the opposite. I might do what I do with my parents and financial advice.
No.
Stay away.
Just go the opposite. Should I sell the old house or just rent it out when I buy the new one? I definitely rent it out. Okay, I'm selling. All right. Sorry, Dennis.
Go 78.
Adam, I want to hear your score.
78.
So there's a weird thing with critics, which is they're real tough on comedies, but a lot of them are nerds, and they're starting to like these big Superman movies, big genre, big comic book movies, and now they've kind of weirdly become the darlings, and I think it's because they're all nerds. Mm-hmm. I don't think jock movies like stand a chance these days, but nerd movies are good. But this was kind of a little earlier. Both, this is it.
That's the ways back.
But I hear this movie's fantastic. I gave it 91.
This is the gold standard of superhero movies. Any movie that people say, oh, it's really good. It's really real. Is it as good as The Dark Knight? That's all I want to know. And the answer is always no. This was the movie that got the Academy to go from 5 nominees for Best Picture to multiple nominees because it got snubbed for Best Picture, which it deserved to be nominated for. I'm going to say 96.
Yeah, I saw this movie again, not interested in this genre at all, but this movie kept me up at night. I couldn't stop thinking about it. It was inside of me for days after I saw it. I also said 91.
Can I tell you something?
Inadvertently, just rated Thank You for Smoking. I just want to go on. I thought the movie was Thank You for Smoking. We're talking about the Batman movie.
The Dark Knight.
Okay. I'll say it's 78, but I thought we were rating Thank You for Smoking.
That'd be 92.
The Dark Knight is certified fresh at 94%.
Oh. I might have gotten back on the podium.
Now,
what was Thank You for Smoking?
We got to look
right
it up.
Around there too.
That's a really good movie.
Critical darling.
To be fair, Dennis was distracted by his son rolling his eyes nonstop for the last 20 minutes. All right. And critics, 94. Audience, 94.
It's universally a great movie.
Right. But this is one of those things where you go, all right, this is correct. They're in tune with the people. Where's Tommy Boy? Not so much.
Thank you for Smoking is 78. No, just kidding. It's 86. It's 86.
All right. Is this the last one?
This is our last one.
Here it is.
The movie 1995, The Net, with Sandra Bullock. Dennis Miller was in that. Sandra Bullock starred with Nicole Kidman as a pair of sisterly witches who, for the most part, have avoided witchcraft, but then somebody dies and they got to bring them back to life. But then an evil spirit threatens to end their family line in the 1998 film Practical Magic.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Want a quick funny Sandra Bullock story from that movie?
Yes.
Please.
I scene where I'm dying in an ICU. Or
in the net?
And we used to date, and she comes to visit me. And my name's Alan. I can't remember the last name. But Sandra used to tell me funny, dirty jokes right up until the time producer, but on this one, the director, Irwin Winkler, would get the shot set. She would be telling me a dirty joke. He'd say, and action. She'd start to cry. Alan, don't leave me. I can't lose you. Hold my hand. He'd say, and cut. She'd finish the dirty joke and the tears would go away. That's how cool she was. It was like instantaneous. And I'd say, how do you do that? And she did the Master Thespian Lovitz's character. Acting!
Hey, this made me thought of a new movement that Dennis could spearhead, the He Too movement that Dennis has been denigrated on the set by women telling him these stories.
I am the exposition eunuch. I come in at the end of the first reel, reset the story, and then get croaked. That's my whole career. The exposition eunuch never gets laid. Always provides proper exposition.
All right. So just for clarification, Practical Magic, Dennis Miller's what? Now this is tough.
I have no idea about this movie.
I feel like I may be carrying a very slim margined lead.
You're definitely in the lead.
Maybe, but this is one of those could be in the 40s and could be in the 70s, maybe even 80s. I don't remember much about this movie. The critics, now again, we have to figure in the critics. Critics kind of like it when two women are kind of in control, and you might get a couple of percentage points for that, but that's not enough to make a bad movie into a good movie.
Did Nicole Kidman play Sylvia Plath in this one?
The Hours, yeah.
I feel like I have a smallish lead, and I'm going to try to protect it.
Okay.
And Dennis Miller, what do you got?
I always think, you know what, you're getting very good at leading me up to the point where I think, be super quiet and Ace might spill his score here and you can work off that. And then you always go, I think I'm going to give it a Dennis Miller. What's your score?
I do that at home, too.
It's a no-look pass.
Mm-hmm.
66, because I think critics at some point realize when they're dealing with two soon-to-be, or if not already, superstars who are going to continue to be superstars, they have to hedge their bets as you're hedging yours right now. So I'll go 66. Although I don't imagine it to be a great movie, I'll say 66.
All right.
I got nothing on this. I only went from the strategy of I think I'm playing for behind, so I had to be a little bold. I said 29.
Interesting.
My only impression is that it's bad, but I don't know that for a fact.
I thought I was being bold. I have known nothing. I don't even know if I'm going to make the podium. I said 40 straight up.
I'm scared now because I went much closer to Dennis Miller's.
But I don't know.
I went with 60. I thought I just put it right down sort of in the middle. I went with 60.
Practical Magic is rotten at 20.
Oh,
big time!
Damn you.
Big time.
Audience, it's 73.
Wow. They liked it just fine.
At the last second, I turned that 21 into a 29, too. So wow. We'll see if that comes in.
Now, that's it.
I feel like the kid in the Shakespeare thing who found out he made love to his old lady. I feel like I'm supposed to poker my orbs or something, so I can't watch movies anymore.
In the Shakespeare thing.
Dennis, I'm going to cheer you up. You're a perennial loser. I was in this game. I was in the hunt. I probably had a 12-point lead, and I thought I did what I yell at my Rams for doing all the time. Stop going into the four corner.
That's right.
Blitz!
That's right.
You got to blitz, and I should have blitzed and went with 30.
Defense.
I went prevent. I got burned.
Unlike the Detroit Lions when Rod Marinelli was the head man. I'm at 0-16.
Never sniffed the playoffs.
All right, what do we got, Dawson? Damn you, Brian.
Well, we begin with fourth place.
The Dennis Miller special.
And I do hope you can take respite in this dulcet tone telling you, Dennis, you lost big time. 130 points.
Ooh, I'm probably not far
behind.
Probably
your worst performance to date.
Well, I've lost four times and I was over 100, so how bad can it be?
This is 130.
Hey, Dennis, you want to save some face, pump your right fist and yell at your son, I got the highest score.
I got the highest score, son!
Good.
That leaves Gina, Adam, and Brian on the podium. Third place going to the one and only Gina Grad. Yeah. Congratulations with an 83.
Okay.
Leaving Brian and Adam. Do we know how this story ends?
It's a 40-point
Congratulations!
Swing.
Adam, for Brian's win, 58 for Brian, 78 for the ace man.
Whoa, well, that last one did it.
That just crushed
me. You think you got problems. I'm in New York, and my son just hired that lawyer slash DJ that works with Curtis Sliwa and legally has changed his last name. Ron, whatever the guy's name is, my kid won't go under Miller anymore. I've done so
Actually, Dennis, I was wrong. You bested last week's score by 6 points, Look so you're you. On your way up. Good job.
Most improved.
Well, listen, I'm just learning the ropes, and I might swing at the end of one if I don't get this together.
Listen, there's no doubt in this podcaster's mind that somewhere in the next 1,000 years you're going to crack the double digits on this bad boy. I don't want to jinx it for you.
Your belief in me matters.
I blew an 11-point lead. So says Max Pat over there. The Dennis Miller option. You can listen now on Podcast One or Apple Podcasts. And again, doing
the
live.
Wait a second. I just got a text. They canceled the special because of the performance.
Oh, damn it.
Bad.
Yeah, you see, we shouldn't stream the show.
We really should, yeah. Release it later.
You can get tickets at Ticketmaster. Montclair coming up, New Jersey, and Knoxville, Tennessee, Bijou. That's where he's doing the taping on the 19th. So let's... Oh, wait a minute.
Now, but next time we go, can't we play it guessing the people's scores? Wouldn't that be a more fun, uplifting thing?
The hoi polloi.
Yes. I'm guessing okay. I'm guessing Knoxville is June 19th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my bad.
I get typos,
yeah,
but
yeah, that's
above it,
one.
It says May 16th, and then the next date below it is, sorry, on the top it says June 16th, and the next date below it is May 19th.
Well, I'm like the fish of comedy. I do a long,
jams.
Until the next year. All right, Max Pat, we got a little better on that. That's not a typo. That's a whole month going the
terrible,
wrong direction.
Terrible typo.
Okay. Dennis, thank you very much, my brother.
All right, guys. I have fun playing the game, believe it. Bye-bye.
Hey, good for you. That's the right attitude.
That's right.
That's sweet. You got to have that attitude. Damn it.
It's important you have fun.
I'm reeling
from
that loss.
40 points.
That movie's just... See, in the game, you give... See, if being John Malkovich was at the end... That's easy. Mm-hmm. It's between 90 and 100.
Right.
And if you have a lead, just go 95, and there's really nothing. Brian could go 20, a bold choice, but it's never gonna work. A Practical Magic type movie,
don't know. Could be a cult classic.
They were going to get some cred for being a couple gals in charge, but the whole witchcraft thing didn't.
It could have been a terrible movie.
I'm sure it was. It's just sometimes there's a couple of hot chicks at the height of their powers, mm-hmm. and... probably making guys do horrible things, and I just thought, I'm gonna stop in the middle, but no such luck. All right, comedian Ian Bagg is here. I got more hot burrito talk with Dawson. I'm not done with this burrito talk.
You can milk that burrito for a little more.
I wanna know. So this place, it's open 24/7.
No guacamole.
It's cash only.
Yes.
And it's always crowded.
Yes.
Okay. And crowded with like the indigenous folks?
No, all kinds. No.
All kinds.
All kinds of
hipsters showing up too. And
white and off-white.
And is I still question the strategy of the two-day-old burrito with the $2 savings, but I do get now that you factor in the long line, there's something there. I do like the rice and the beans with the meat and the burrito. I find that a strong call. I don't...
you like the rice in the burrito?
I do. Well, my whole thing is, it's part of my tortured syndrome, is rice in everything. Like, if you made stew and I dug out a thing of rice and dumped the stew on it, I would enjoy it that much better. When I used to eat a chicken pot pie, dump it on a pile of rice and let all the goo just sort of run down the rice. I am the best part. If you tell me we're doing Chinese food, no rice, it's like it's kind of ruined for me. Like, I love getting the rice mixed up. To me, in the no-fly zone of the, like, sweet and sour pork. Oh, you got to let Phil in now.
Hold on.
Phil's trying to get in. You give me, like, the sweet and sour pork or what? Whatever, the chicken with snow peas or whatever, and I get the half scoop of rice along with the scoop of the whatever, that's when I'm in heaven.
Sweet spot.
Yeah. And so, in a weird way, a burrito, and I'm fine with an all whatever burrito as well, but the rice, maybe even okay. More than the beans. But I'm down with the rice and beans. Cheese in there, Dawson?
Oh, yeah.
No cheese.
What? Oh, wow. Interesting. No dairy.
They're going old school here.
Yeah,
you have to order cheese extra, and I just don't do it because I trust the way they make the burrito.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
The other thing I like about you, Dawson, is who amongst us would do this? Who has the courage to do this?
Fortitude.
What hero?
Phil's licking my leg now. Phil, what do you want?
All right. Taste the burrito.
Who would order 4 burritos.
I'm out.
Now, you buy in bulk, and that's
still
where you save in Mexican food.
Sure.
That's what my grandfather always told me. Sure. When it comes to Mexican food.
Don't waste your money on buying every day.
Yeah, listen. You want to buy Thai food in bulk? No.
No.
Mexican food, you load always up. Buy in bulk.
Strong choice.
And then he had a huge Pez dispenser that delivered burritos, and he would just lean his head back and suck one into his mouth. Pancho Villa, I think, was the head on the thing. Sure. And then he'd give me a satisfied smile. But you buy in bulk when it comes. So when you're buying Mexican food in bulk, quick quiz, Max Pata. I'm going to tease this. It's hot burrito talk.
Quick quiz, hot shot.
Who amongst us would go 1 pork, 1 beef, 1 chicken, and 1
carnitas. Carnitas, pastor, so 2 pork.
Yeah, but different pork.
Yes.
I mean, exploring all the options they possibly have.
That's a lot of burrito, man.
And listen, all you assholes who go for a veggie burrito can go raise yourself with a veggie burrito. Like, ooh. I don't care about you, but that's not an option. You've taken the 4 options, and you've gone all 4. Like, see, for me, I'm just going to tease it, but let's find out what everyone would get. I like the pork idea. Fine. And then 2 beefs or something of that nature. Who amongst us is as well balanced or as high
the
as
wheel.
Dawson?
Dawson, does this place have a breakfast burrito? Because if so, that is option
awesome.
4. That's option 4.
Bacon and eggs.
It's very good.
You go pork, chicken,
chorizo,
kick
maybe.
Kick that chicken out of there and get a breakfast.
I'm kicking breakfast up at the top for me personally.
We got to understand, it's 11 o'clock at night.
Still good.
Still good.
It's true.
Especially a little drunk.
The breakfast burritos are a little cheaper, too.
Wow. But then you're fleecing yourself on the 4-pack.
Exactly.
And like my grandpa used to. Oh, did I already get into that?
The ordering strategy.
The sage wisdom.
He'd tell me that the breakfast burrito, when buying in bulk, was a fool's errand. I remember Lotsy telling me that clearly.
Eggs don't cost much money, yeah.
No, yeah.
You're not taking it to the Mexican man.
A lost change, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Caitlin was having trouble getting over the hypothetical of buying 4 burritos at once anyway,
That's why I'm stuck.
That is weird, because I do feel like if a burrito sits for more than 40 minutes, I've lost a lot of interest in it.
I probably won't do this again.
Every
time I go there, that is good, my first one. Time I go there, I always buy at least 2 burritos, because I do want 1 for tomorrow, and I don't want to wait in that line again, so it's always at least 2.
I want to know what the exercise regimen is for you. I'm not counting when the lighter's out of butane and you have to keep going at it before you discover it's time to throw it away. I want actual
long distance loogie hawking.
Yes, I want actual exercise and how it is that you just live at 174 pounds and never move from that number whilst buying Mexican food in bulk. I want you to think about that for a little minute. Jeez, I should have brought you some steak fries from the other night.
Oh.
I should have sherped those things in.
New segment, Watch Dawson Eat.
I'll tell you about hymns. 65% of men start losing their hair By the age of 35, 4hims.com, one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat your hair loss. Generic equivalents of the name brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting room or awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial month of Hims for just $5 with supplies and while supplies last. Would cost hundreds if you went to the pharmacy. So let's check this out. Again, you don't have a doctor? That's fine. You don't want to pay a whole bunch at the pharmacy? That's fine. Go to 4hims.com/Adam, F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com/Adam, 4hims.com/Adam. All right, Dawson, how do you stay
svelte,
cruising around 175, 180, just sort of perpetually with your late-night international pina colada consumption and your multiple burrito chub pack purchases?
Mm-hmm. That's what they should call it, the chub pack.
How does this work when I feel like we're all fighting the good fight over here and you're walking in with your two? Here's the deal. You don't have a care in the world when it comes to caloric intake when you're driving along the freeway and you look up and go, oh, the King's offering a 2 foot longer for $5. I'm getting in on that. Oh, there's four burritos for $20. Oh, I just happened upon this sign. I'm in.
Sure.
So how does this work, Dawson?
Well, I mean, the other half of my diet is homemade chicken soup, which I eat like 3 times a week.
He dips his burritos
all
into
I eat.
Uh-huh. As you.
And then I drink like the big quarts of Naked Juice Green Machines.
Yeah.
Drink about one of those a day.
Yeah, Vinny would tell you that's probably a ton of sugar.
No, there's no sugar in it. It's all fruit juice. I mean, it's all vegetables juice.
Where do you work? Oh, it's all vegetable?
Yeah.
But it tastes good.
No, it tastes like pineapple juice. Well, you can look it up. It's all natural juice.
Hold on.
Natural sugar.
I do talk about pineapple juice as an example.
Dawson's 100% right. It is 100% juice, yeah. But it is
pineapple
sugar.
Tropical masks sugars the flavor of everything else. There's broccoli in this thing.
No.
Essentially.
Dawson, you do understand when I say it's got the tropical juice or it's got the fruit juice in it, and then you go, no, it's all vegetable. The pineapple masks the flavor. When I'm talking about fruit juice, I'm including pineapple
no,
in my
I understand
discussion.
That.
The
I
pineapple,
no,
it tastes
there's
good.
Regular sugar from the fruit in there. There's no added sugar. It's 100% natural juice, is what I'm saying.
Have you ever been here when Vinny's here talking about drinking orange juice and how you should just drink a Pepsi because it's
Hold
the
on.
Same as?
I believe shitting on the point is my domain. 32 grams of added sugar, 53 Ooh. Grams overall.
That's okay.
Oh, well, okay.
It's delicious. I agree.
No, if it tastes good and it's in a smoothie form, it's not broccoli. It is broccoli, but it's mostly pineapple juice to taste good. And the pineapple juice is loaded with natural sugar, but maybe it has added. But you drink about how much of that a day?
About half of one of those quarts.
Half a quart of
a
that.
A big glass of it in the morning and a big glass of it at dinner.
Okay, so that's a ton of sugar.
Intake.
But what is that? So
a lot of vitamins.
Let's walk through the day. We'll find the grams of sugar. Max Spana, find the grams. I hope you're doing this already. Grams of sugar in that.
Didn't I just tell 53. You?
Didn't I just tell you? No. In 8 ounces of that, or a Pepsi, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Or 12 ounces of that
compared
versus
to soda. Okay.
Yes, because that gives us some context here. But. I think you're going to find that thing's right up there with a Coke. But, all right, give us the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, Dawson. Burrito, burrito, burrito.
Breakfast.
Then lunch.
Breakfast doesn't really exist. I drink coffee, and that takes away my appetite. So I drink one of those freaking protein, 30 grams of protein drinks, and a big glass of Green Machine.
Wait, where's the protein drink come from?
What's it called? I buy it at Costco. It's pretty cheap. It's
stuff that tastes
protein.
Good.
It's just
stuff that tastes good.
It tastes like chocolate milk. Actually, mm-hmm. it's a protein. Whatever, 30 grams of protein. No sugar. It says no sugar on the thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, now we got to look
it's
into this
artificial sweetener.
Okay.
Right. I know it's not. It's totally the wrong way to go. When I do have breakfast, I'll cook a couple sausage patties, and that's it.
Is it the wrong way to go? Look at him.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't know. The joke's on us.
Couple sausage patties to your head, like no eggs or anything?
No, I'm lazy. So eggs take too much time. I like my eggs over medium.
That's good.
And you got to watch them and do stuff.
Yeah,
I'm working in the studio. I put some sausage in a cast iron pan on low. And never overcooked.
I just feel like once the pan and the sausage comes out, we're at eggs. But all right.
And
okay, well,
Dawson,
can you do them scrambled?
I don't like scrambled eggs. I mean, I like them, but it's not my preference. It's always over medium.
No, I get it, but can you tolerate scrambled? Like, can you knock an egg into that pan and whip it up too?
I can.
I know you have to clean the cast iron.
I'm not saying are you physically capable of doing it. I'm saying, would you enjoy that?
The breakfast burrito has scrambled eggs.
I love the answer.
Sometimes that's a good answer.
You got to understand.
I'm saying, would you enjoy that?
In the morning, I don't eat for joy. I eat so I don't get a headache at 3 p.m.
All right. But you're drinking something that's chocolate flavored.
Yeah.
Well, I would.
It goes down easy.
I would say chocolate flavored breakfast is. Joy.
It's peak of existence.
No, it's your choices on that are chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry for 30 grams of protein. I picked the least offensive one.
But you don't have to drink a protein drink, that's what I'm saying. All right. So you drink chocolate for breakfast. You have the Coke comparison. There it is. Sorry.
All right. So for, and this is just for an 8-ounce serving. So it's a small serving. An 8-ounce serving of Coke has 26 grams of sugar.
Oofa.
An 8-ounce serving of Green Machine by Naked Juice has 28 grams of sugar.
I've weighed 185 for the last 25 years, so I'm all right.
Dawson, there was a time you were doing the DDP workout pretty hardcore.
Yeah, I ended up stopping that when the studio started being built. Mm. I got to get back into it.
But Dawson, I've never been writer in my life.
What do you write about?
Huh?
Tell me what you write about.
Oh. Do you know the topic of this discussion?
Yeah, that I have a great metabolism and I'm awesome.
Yes, you don't gain weight.
Right.
Now, at the beginning, you were drinking fresh pressed broccoli, and that wouldn't gain weight. But now that we figured out that it has more sugar in it than a Coke, now we're back to me being right. That's what I'm saying. So I've never been more right in my life because
sugar is one thing, but I mean, there's no broccoli in Coke.
It's a secret recipe.
Google that shit. No, I understand that part. And the broccoli, the small amount of broccoli that's in the green-colored milkshake that you drink for breakfast is good for you. But the rest, Vinny would not, that would be a complete and utter no-fly zone.
Well, I love
shot
bread.
To the liver.
I eat sandwiches all you the
and Oprah.
Time.
I know. So, all right, what's lunch?
I'm not on, lunch is, there is no lunch. I don't eat lunch. I either eat a late breakfast, which sometimes I'm having here. That's usually my first meal of the day around 11, 12.
But let's try to dissect this a little. You don't eat for joy in the breakfast. You want to get some protein in you, but you don't eat breakfast, or the coffee knocks your appetite down.
Exactly.
But at 9:45 this morning, you had a foot long two pound burrito.
Our schedule was off today, though.
I was up at 7 a.m., and I didn't have... I like milk in my coffee, and I didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't get to overdose on my coffee this morning. I just had one cup of black.
Okay.
And
it's
so
a rare burrito exception.
Yeah. He picks what he wants to put in his coffee, cream or burrito.
Lunch is sandwich, or maybe not?
Usually not. If I only
burrito sandwich? You take two pieces of bread and put a burrito between.
Chicken lunch meat sandwich, chicken and mayo, if I eat lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's dinner and soup.
Yeah, now at the other shop, I believe Brian eats. No, that was, what's
Andrew?
His name?
Andrew.
And no. Shit, the other guy.
There's
new guy?
Another guy?
Jacob?
Jake? No, the guy left.
James? Jacob?
Oh, James.
Andrew's the guy left.
Wait, not James. The guy left. The redhead. What the hell's...
Oh, Chris.
Chris. Chris is the guy who has the plain chicken sandwich. Mm. It's just cold chicken meat
the Blues Brothers.
On two pieces
the
of bread.
Blues Brothers.
Delicious.
Which is weird because it's like So the whole thing about chicken, it's a fine base, but now we need to start adding a bunch of stuff because it's kind of like a substrate of protein, and now we got to get some pickles and mustard and stuff like going on. What do you got in your sandwich, Dawson?
Mayo and chicken.
Oh.
No mustard.
No, it's a little highfalutin for me.
Wow.
I put mustard on a hot dog.
Good.
That's not hot.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then dinner, burrito, chicken soup.
Chicken soup. Sometimes a burrito. Sometimes I'll order Chinese food. Love the Chinese food.
Oh, yeah. That's great. What do you get in the Chinese food?
I always get, well, I like soup, so I always get the war wonton soup.
Nice.
And then I get a combo fry rye.
Fry rye.
And then usually like a beef and broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
Something like
standard.
That.
Mm-hmm. What about you're sleeping on that mushu pork? That's my favorite.
Yeah,
and the burrito of Chinese food.
I'm boring when it comes to that stuff. I will order the same thing every
chicken
time.
Chicken soup. Do you have some bread to dip it in the chicken soup?
Occasionally, not usually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm still on the right page, which is you eat like hell. mild hell, not big hell.
Purgatory.
Purgatory.
Well, it ain't hell. You can see it from here.
First circle hell.
Not so much in the exercise department.
I do push-ups throughout the day.
Oh, you do?
Is
there food under you?
Burrito bites?
You bob for burritos?
That's what I do. I have a straw.
There's a bunch of burritos in like what is like a oversized cigarette pack. Yeah. And Dawson goes down and goes.
Green machine!
You do push-ups throughout the day. Well, that's something. All right. How many push-ups you reckon you do a day?
Between 100 and 150, just 25 at a time.
Nice. Okay.
See, I always figured if you're this is as vain as I will get. As long as my chest is bigger than my belly,
preach, honey.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're good.
All right. I'm glad we got to the bottom of a lot of that stuff. I'm still jealous because
she's shoving food in her face.
I'm on the Dawson diet.
License to eat. On the Dawson diet.
Now Dawson.
Oh, so good.
I suspect I know the answer to this, but this enlightening information about your juice having more sugar in it than a Coke, is that going to slow your roll in the green machine juice?
Not at all.
Okay, that's the beauty of it. Why? Why you'd be a sucker?
The answer is what comes out the other end, to be honest.
Gets you moving.
It moves great. I'm pooping good.
There are a lot of benefits in that green juice. There's a lot of sugar. Those, you know, vitamins and fiber. And
they stuff that stuff into everything. Vinny Tortorich would still call you insane for drinking that. Like it's full of stuff, but it's full of sugar.
Yeah.
And here's how you know. It tastes good. This is the problem. It's green. It has a picture of broccoli on it. And then you take a hit off it and you go, this tastes good. Yeah. That's how you know you can't drink it.
What I used to do is take a chunk of broccoli, throw it in the blender with pineapple juice, and just blend that up and drink that every
that's
day.
That's your bathtub gin version of the green machine.
Right. Bruno.
But Dawson, you've been here when Vinny did long soliloquies on the juice, the evils of juice, right?
Yeah, I honestly did not think that this was part of that. But then again, I don't. You know, I love Vinny, but I don't need his. I'm good.
Yeah,
I can eat and drink what I want. I'm lucky.
You're right.
Dawson eats to his own drummer.
That's right. All right. You have the staff burrito survey. Did you throw in breakfast?
Yeah. So yeah, there was a breakfast burrito choice as well. But for the most part, Kaylin and I both want to do the sampler. The reason being is just there's so much meat. You're going to get tired. Like it's not like the taco survey. Yeah.
Around the horn.
Sorry. Yeah, what's the question? What burrito to order or what?
You're getting
combo.
Four burritos for yourself. What kind of burritos do you get?
When you put it like that, it's so ridiculous.
You're walking out with an armload of burritos.
Yeah. Oh, you know, find that Gino Vannelli song, Living Inside Myself, because I feel like this could be a sad picture, you know? I'm buying four burritos for myself. And then I met you. You know what I mean? Like, that's a bachelor.
That's good. Yeah.
There's no more bachelor move than four burritos for yourself. Like, when I see a guy leaving a taco place with four burritos, I'm like, is that for your kids and your adoring wife? This is called Monday through Thursday. I'm like, wow, living alone. All right. Max Pata,
Yeah.
You're going with the chicken.
I got it. Yeah, I'll do one of, look, I'm going to get tired of all that
meat.
Yeah,
but like, just spread it out over 10 days.
I went with my gut instinct answer. Matt's getting 2 steak, pork, and a chicken. Gabe's getting 2 al pastor, 1 carne asada, 1 breakfast.
I'm in the Gabe camp here. Mm.
And then
Dylan's for only burritos. Let's be clear. There's Dylan's no other lifestyle choice that man makes that I would want to associate with. But when it comes to buying burritos, and only burritos, I am in the Gabe camp. I'm squarely in the Gabe camp. This is smart. Yes.
And then Dylan said 4 chicken.
Wow. Oh, he did that to piss me off. He did that. I love rap music and chicken burritos. Chicken is another waste. That's a waste of a burrito to me. It's weird. It's weird. It's too watery. I don't know.
I'd probably do the sampler, burrito. But given one choice, breakfast every time.
I'd probably go carnitas, number one.
Rice in a breakfast burrito really makes a difference.
We putting the sausage in the breakfast burrito?
Yeah, absolutely. Sausage or bacon, but given the choice, sausage, 100%.
Okay, because sometimes people go meatless.
No. Do little fajita peppers. And yeah,
guacamole. Ooh la la. Potatoes.
Dancing with a burrito.
Solemn bite.
Head into Paquita Moss.
I'll take the 4-pack of burritos.
Put the floor and down alone.
Yes, yes, I said quattro.
Buying 4 burritos for myself.
Hey man, Tool's here. Peak Tool's here.
Yeah.
New karaoke pick.
Waiting in line. Line alone, ordering in bulk. Gonna buy a 55-gallon drum of refried beans at the Costco on the way home. Take another hit off the green machine, adding tears to the chicken soup. Oh, yeah.
Just mayo on the sandwich.
The King's running a special. 51 sandwiches for $1,800. And I'm in. Consulting Corolla about buying auxiliary fridge. Placing it in the garage. To almost no fanfare at home. Oh, that's right, my dog can't clap.
Filling it with pancakes.
Those Eggos last forever. All right. I don't know why. Haven't thought about that song in a million years.
Great song.
Went well.
Poor Ian Baggs out there having to listen to this crap. We'll bring him in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. Oh, they obsess over the details like no other company that came up with a privacy shutter for their security camera to protect your privacy when you're home or away. Control it from your smartphone. How about that? Metal shutters can break and the hinges can go bad. They needed something that was going to work 10,000 times, the life of the camera. They tested different metals and hinge designs for months. The result? Thin, lightweight, aluminum privacy shutter. Simply Safe is different. They do home security right, and you can learn all about them. You go to simplysafe.com. We have it here. Dawson's got his on right now, protecting. He's got a burrito and a half. It's just sitting out on his kitchen table.
And it's armed and protected because of Simply
SimplySafe.com.
Yep. No one's getting at that burrito or the multitude of salsa I take with me.
Oh, they're losing money after you Sherpa that that salsa out of there.
They should get Simply Safe.
They should get Simply Safe. Dawson be one unwelcome gringo. SimplySafe.com/Adam. That is SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right. Ian Bag is back. We'll do some drunk tank calls. We'll do a quick break. Good sports, and right after this.
Good sports. It's time for a sports segment. Good sports. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sports. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights, riffing on battles.
it, Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the newest episode of Good Sports, presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here with a reminder. Go listen to the Dave Damashek football program, available on iTunes and beyond. A gaggle of pro football players talking about the game of football. More importantly, the game of life. And across from me, over there, the great Adam Carolla. What's the poop, Ace?
Oh, you know, firm but consistent.
All right. Ace, let me ask you this. Let's start here. Gary behind the glass has submitted this win play show for us, and the Stanley Cup is soon to be handed out. Of course, the Lombardi was handed to the Eagles a couple of months ago. Let's win play show. Sports trophies. It's always a good conversation. Lord Stanley's Cup, the Larry O'Brien Championship Trophy for the NBA, which is that kind of half basketball kind of thing with the half a. But it's supposed to be the basket, but it really looks like a trash can.
Yeah.
And it looks like it would never fit through the trash can anyway.
Yeah, there's just
too big.
There's a scale situation there. I think they did it like what I do when I write my name on a chalkboard, which is I start with a big C and then a big A, and at some point I realize I'm running out of room and I try to mash in the rest of the letters.
That happens to you. That happens to my little boy. That happens to Jean-Claude Van Damashek. I'm surprised.
They get progressively smaller.
I think the architect, I thought you would have the eye to know
Not with the penmanship, and the left hand doesn't help on
the
chalkboard.
First of all, I've never really thought about it.
I think what they did is they went, let's make this basketball trophy. What would be a good thing? How about a basketball going into a hoop with a net? And it's like, all right, a little on the nose, but so be it. Oh, Gary, here's some research for you. I believe we're looking at pictures of all three. I believe the NFL Lombardi, that's just a regulation size silver football.
Ooh, that's a good point. I think that you're probably right that it is.
And I think they probably went with a regulation size basketball, and then they went, okay, now we need a hoop that's 24 inches or 22 inches around or whatever the hell it is. And the thing was unliftable.
Yeah, oh, that's fair.
And so somebody went, all right, well, keep the basketball regular size. We're just going to shrink down the hoop.
It's unsettling to look at, though, because it's perpetually hanging on the rim. And so if it were in your house, if you're bothered by things like that, as I'm pretty sure you are, out of the corner of my eye, it would make me crazy forever, like that the ball's forever going to tip over or something.
Yeah, the NFL got it smart because they just put this thing on the top of the Luxor Hotel. Basically, put it on a pyramid, and there
MLB's is weird too. It's the one. It's that weird clunky thing with all the mini little pennants all around it. It looks like a birthday cake.
It looks like a tetanus shot waiting to happen. It looks like, what happened? Well, how'd you get lockjaw? I was running with the MLB trophy, and I hit a patch of ice, and it landed on it, and I impaled myself.
It seems like you would lose those flags periodically. Like, yeah. I don't know what happened to the Pirates one. Yeah, it fell out a number of years ago. Never found it again.
Yeah, by the way, the NFL Lombardi is a regulation-size football.
Nice call. I never put two and two together.
I never thought about it, but I'm looking at it and going, that is the size of a football.
What's the right finish for a trophy? I never occurred to me until looking at them.
The only
silver
finish, first place.
That was a big sniff.
I know.
But it deserved it.
That was an exclamation point sniff. The right finish.
Silver, gold. The Heisman is that, bronzy, pewtery. Not pewter, but bronzy, I guess.
Basketball, also regulation size.
Huh.
And I think by the time they made the hoop regulation and the net, it's like the thing weighed 170 pounds. So they're like, well, we got to thin this up a little bit.
You know, but I've sipped from Lord Stanley's cup. It came into a bar at closing time once in Pittsburgh, PA, 1991. I was in a bar, and one of five total customers in this bar at closing hour, middle of summer, in came the analyst for the Penguins on the radio, Paul Staggerwald, with a bodyguard and the Stanley Cup in tow. He literally, the bodyguard, had the white gloves on and everything, just walking around, 2:30 a.m. in Pittsburgh, PA. And I, you know, one of few people in there, because you get it for 3 days or whatever you get if you're associated with the organization. He saw fit to bring it to this bar with nobody there. And so I talked to him and I said, hey, Staggy, can I Would it be all right if me and the fellas hoisted it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, if it's all right with that guy. The bodyguard said, oh, yeah, it's okay. Next thing you knew, we were hoisting it. Then I went back for more. I said, how about a little Iron City beer into that cup? He said, same answer. So, and right after that, the bartender was pouring from the draft right into the cup.
Wow.
And we sat. We drank from Lord Stanley's cup.
I hope that
1991.
Guy, Staggy.
Yeah.
I hope that guy came out to the song Stagger Lee, which is a great
I didn't know what you were going to say.
Song.
Stagger Lee.
You guys got to hear that song, Stagger Lee. It's good. And if he'd be leaving money on the table if he did not enter the arena to that song. Now, finishes. It used to be gold. And by the way, when I was young, it was pretty much gold is where we stopped. I realized everything is now platinum.
You're so right.
And diamond. And then there's the inexplicable, just, you want the black American Express card? It's graphite. Like, all right, wait a minute. There can't be nine things better than gold. When I was a kid, it was just the gold standard, Midas touch, you know, gold. Now, you don't even podium at gold anymore because we got graphite and nickel cadmium above you. And it's all this, like, standard that it's weird. I kind of blame credit cards. Now, here's what happened with gold. Gold ended up getting knocked off too easily. I got too many plastic baseball trophies that were gold, and you pick them up and they're way too light. And it's like, that's not metal. Oh, it's plastic.
That's right.
Spray painted gold. So gold actually wasn't gold anymore. You know, in the Egyptian days, gold was gold. That was a big deal. Now everything's pyrite now. It's fool's gold. And thus,
I'm surprised I didn't get a sniff, but
thus I go silver because it's less ripped off. It's less likely to be plastic. When you go plastic, you go paint it gold. Give the kids the gold. Give the 9-year-olds their participation trophy. Paint it gold. Nope, people don't paint plastic silver. They paint plastic gold.
Weird. You know, now it's like, I guess it's kind of like for a long time we believed, because it was the only one really available to us in large quantity, was milk chocolate. And all the while, we didn't know that the better chocolate was dark chocolate. No, better analogy is Merlot and Chablis. They were, that was where it was at.
Dave, are you on your period? It's all this chocolate Merlot talk. Are you,
I don't
spotting?
Care. I'm not apologizing to anybody. You know how
play
I make
Stagger Leaf.
The night was clear.
I like that it gives you a weather report at
the
top.
Moon was yellow, and the leaves,
you know this one?
Stagger Leaf.
Tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my,
can I tell you, would you be any cooler? Is there any cooler a cat than if you're on stage with these background singers and the main guy and everyone looking like Muddy Waters?
The best.
And you were the only white guy and you were playing that bass sax. Yeah, you'd be wearing like your Kango hat backwards, and you're playing that big sax.
Why does the white guy always wear the Kango? That's a good point.
Yeah.
Paul Stagerwall, wherever you are, I hope you're listening to this.
Yeah. It's a real swinging song about shooting a dude. It's like this
That's
be
a good
you,
list.
This
Best
be you,
songs.
The Kango.
Best songs that involve murder.
Yeah, he's like, the guy begged him. The guy said, like, hold on. He's like, hey, wait, listen. The guy said, I have kids and a wife. Listen. Sick wife and three kids. Like, I was like, Staggerly's like, hey, $8 is $8. And craps is craps. And I gotta put you down.
What? first Rocky Raccoon had a song honoring him. We're honoring the murderer here.
The bullet went through Billy and like lodged in some retarded guy's head or something.
Staggerly,
you gotta get the lyrics. The guy said, "I got a sick wife and three kids." Staggerly was like, "We were shooting dice, and you bilked me out of $12. So I got to put you down."
Oh, man.
No swinging a capital murder song. I mean, that's murder one.
I like, the Folsom Prison Blues I play as a cautionary tale for Jean-Claude Van Damme-ishek. I say, listen to him. See, he makes one mistake. He shot a man just to watch him die. Now he hears that train forever going by. Life is passing by, and he hears it, and he's stuck in that jail cell. Jean-Claude Van Damme-ishek doesn't care one lick what I have
to
tell
him. I'm going to play Sonny Staggerly. Listen, you throw dice with black guys, shit happens. All right? Not saying you are. I'm saying let's not get started.
Well, let's put a wrap on it then for Good Sports Today. Podcast One Sports, Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek out. Good Sports.